Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined as always by David McDonald. I've added a cheeky little as always in there. I've never said that
as always.
We're in. I'm going wild here. It is Wednesday 26th of June 2024. This is episode 316.
Hey, da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm doing my Steve
Our
Austin.
Special guest this week is Stone Cold. No, it's not.
Wow. That'll be something, right? What do you think about the... that was my Steve Austin imitation. What do you think about the Naito winning the IWGP Championship? Go ahead, son. Pretty good, right? Thanks.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Spot on. I thought he'd actually joined us on the line there. I was checking Zencast to see if Steve Austin had just popped up in the room.
That was terrible. The worst. That was the worst imitation ever. 316. Look at us. Look at us go. Look at us go. Just chugging right along. Creating our content. Creating our content. Yep. That's what we do. How are you? How are you, tough guy?
I'm good. Yep. Not enjoying Euro 2024.
Oh.
I don't know how much you've seen of it or how much you're keeping up with it.
A little bit. England's not doing too hot, huh?
Well, we qualified out of our group. We finished top of our group, but just in the most boring and unenjoyable way possible. We got a very boring 1-0 win over Serbia, then a very boring 1-1 draw with Denmark, and then a very boring 0-0 draw to Slovenia.
Oof.
So we're through, and the side of the bracket that we're on in the knockout round looks like, in terms of the names, like relatively favourable, because on the other side of the bracket are all the sort of typical heavyweights, like, you know, your Germany, France, Spain, Portugal, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, that fills me with no confidence, because we've been playing so badly that it's just been, I think, probably the worst international tournament group stage in my lifetime.
Really?
Just absolute, just turgid, no chances, no excitement, no passion. There's no tactical system in place. All of our who are supposedly our best players look unfit, and we're just like, it's like 2021 New Japan vibes. that's how it feels.
Wow. Anyway,
watching those like six match cards with these matches going like 35 minutes, and you're like, oh my god, will this end already?
Wow, it's supposed to be enjoyable.
Equivalent of the Okada Yujiro feud of late 2021.
Oh my god. Just don't have your players come out with like balloons and shit. What? So again, as an outsider looking in, I think people in the US were kind of like, just on the surface, sports fans in general, England is like a soccer, football, like, powerhouse. Like, whether that's true or not, like, it's just like kind of ingrained in us that that's the case, you know? And like, you know, Brazil and like, I don't know, Spain and Italy. But like, so why do you guys not, why are you not, this would be like Canada not playing well in international competition in hockey. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Help me explain it.
Sorry, explain what? What do you mean?
Why does England stink? They never do well in international
manager.
Really?
Yeah. He's just out of his depth. He's, I think, been fortunate to have a very talented squad that has papered over his inability to have any real tactical plan for them. It feels like he's just sort of picking the 11 best players and sort of expecting them to figure it out, rather than doing what you need to do, which is have a tactical system that is going to hide your weaknesses and accentuate your strengths. Because we've got a bunch of people who are brilliant for their clubs, but just doing nothing in the England shirt because the tactical system is not set up to get the best out of them. And he just is very overly cautious, conservative, inflexible. He's got his favourites, and it takes a lot for him to drop players who are clearly out of form. And his sort of in-game management is not very good either. Like, he's not very good at recognising the changing game state in front of him and making the adjustments necessary to deal with it.
Right. He's not a good game day manager. Got you.
Yeah.
Has it always been like this? Like, because, again, the joke of it's coming home. It hasn't come home. It's lost. It needs an air tag or something. I don't know. It needs GPS. Why hasn't it come home, Joel? Is what I want to know.
Yeah, it's hard not to blame the manager, Southgate, really, because his club managerial record prior to being England coach is a total of 3 years at one pretty nothing club, Middlesbrough, which included getting them relegated. So 3 years as Middlesbrough manager, where he didn't do that well, and he's been England coach now for nearly two decades.
Is there just no one better?
I'm not really sure what this was going to... Yeah, there are people better, but I think he's done pretty well in terms of the results in the first couple of tournaments. So we made it to World Cup semi-final in 2018. We made it to the final of Euro 2020. But every time we've come up against a decent team that's well organised, then it's all gone wrong. And there have been moments that I look back on personally and think a more capable manager or even a bolder manager would have been able to make the adjustments necessary to seal the deal. Like against Italy in the Euro 2020 final, we were winning against an Italy team that was largely full of old men who looked very, very tired, but he just wanted to sit on the 1-0 lead and was very conservative and defensive, wanted to protect that lead, where I feel a more ambitious coach would have recognised that game state and thought, you know what, if we go at them here, we could make this a 2-0 or a 3-0,
right?
Just as an example.
That's, I mean, you would think that they would be in a much better situation. And again, the worst thing is, if you're going to lose spectacularly, lose with some guts. I'm with you. So who's in your bracket? Who do you got? Fucking Antarctica? What do you got?
we don't know yet. This is the thing. The format of this tournament is very strange in as much as it's a round robin where there are six groups and the top two go through, but also the four highest placed third place teams go through, which is very, very weird because there's a lot of uncertainty there and a lot of moving parts, and you end up with teams not really sure what they need to do to secure that third spot, which has made this third match day a bit rubbish, basically, because there are teams that are just scared of losing rather than going all out. Because at least you know where you stand, where you've got four teams in a group, the top two go through, rather than a lot of very sort of cagey play here with teams hedging their bets because they think, we might be able to scrape through in third place if we get, 3 points or 4 points.
Are the Euros a big thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
For European football, yeah. Football loving countries, it is. It's a big thing for us. I don't know who we're playing. We're playing on Sunday and it will be against one of the third placed teams. But then after that, we would be playing, if we win that, which is not a given, we would be playing the winner of, I think, Italy versus Switzerland. And I don't fancy that at all. So I'm not exactly expecting us to get very far. Although it would be very typical for us to just defensively grind our way to actually winning a trophy while everyone is demanding that Southgate resign.
Yeah. I mean, just bore them with defense. just bore him with defense. Look, I mean, who's the front runner here? I mean, who's like the odds on favorite? Germany, France?
Prior to the tournament, I would have said yes, but France looks pretty poor themselves against Poland. They've only scored twice. I don't think they've scored any goals from open play, actually.
Wow.
Germany are the hosts. They were my pre-tournament favourites. I'm still sticking with them. But as an outside pick, Austria are looking very tasty at the moment. So they're definitely one to keep an eye on.
All right. What was I going to ask? I forget. Is it a situation? Oh, my last question. Is it a case where in the Premier League, and again, people will debate if that's the cream of the crop when it comes to football. Is it that a lot of players from outside of England come in and dominate and have for maybe many years now? And like England just doesn't have that system to bring up talented footballers?
We've got tremendously talented footballers. Right. We've got footballers who have won everything there is to win. And a lot of these our players play for Man City, who won the treble last season. We've got Jude Bellingham, who won the Champions League with Real Madrid, and he's like one of their star players. So the talent is absolutely there. And it's really frustrating because in my lifetime, there have been some really weird countries that have won the Euros. Denmark have won it. Greece managed to win it in 2004, just playing like absolute terrorism defensive football. Portugal won it in, I think, 2016 after, I think they drew all three of their games in the group stage. They didn't win any games in the round robin stage, but managed to get through with this third place thing. And just, again, with a lot of luck and just being very cagey and defensive, managed to win the whole thing. So it's not like it's totally out of the question for us to win it. And I get annoyed. Like, surely, just statistically speaking, in my lifetime, we've got to win one of them. If these countries are winning it, why can't we do it? So, I think it's just one of those things. You don't have to be anywhere near as good as you are in club football, because obviously there's not the cohesion of a club football team that play together every single week. You know, international football, by its nature, groups of players who get together, you know, relatively infrequently. So a lot of the time, it was a healthy dose of luck, but also I think being well organized,
chemistry,
well disciplined. Yeah, I would say just sort of being solid. Like if you've got a good defense, then you're sort of halfway there, really. But we have been pretty good defensively, which is why I can't really rule out the possibility of us, you know, terrorisming our way to winning the trophy.
But right, I was about to say.
We'll have to score some goals at some point, and that's looking off the table right now.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe that'll come, right? Maybe you just had to take it easy in these opening rounds, just do enough to qualify, and then you fucking kick it into second and third gear. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, the one thing that I take as a silver lining from the awful Slovenia game last night is that Southgate seems to be sort of cycling through squad players through his substitutions and seems to have kind of lucked out on a system that is working a lot better than the initial system by him bringing on some players that a lot of people were wanting to play from the start. Like there's this young lad from Manchester United called Kobbie Mainoo who came on halfway through the game yesterday and really turned things around, and we looked a lot more positive after that. A guy from Chelsea called Cole Palmer came on. I think that was his first appearance this tournament, and he looked really lively as well. So it's just one of these things where he may have just sort of lucked into figuring out a system that works a lot better than the system that he had in his mind to start with.
Mm. Now, I did promise it would be my last question, but I lied. Do you think the players have enough wherewithal to kind of go about, and I'll put it in air quotes, a system that, you know, kind of on the fly, like they're talented enough to say, okay, listen, I know that we need to, I don't know, maybe work the right side because their defense looks a little bit fucking weaker on that side. Like they're smart enough to do that, right?
Yeah, I do think a lot of these problems could be solved by the players themselves. I do wonder if we took out the manager
right.
and just said to the players, right, you guys figure it out. What do you think we should do?
Right.
And just rule it by committee. We'd probably do a lot better.
Right.
Again, these guys are winners and they've played under some of the best coaches in world football and won the top trophies. So the problem is not theirs. No, the problem's not with the players.
Yeah, I would think that, like, if you're playing in that type of tournament, you're the best of the best. So you have a little stroke, and I'd just be like, yeah, guys, here's what the fuck we're gonna do. You know, this guy's a clown. We're not, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll do it our way. All right, cool. All right, listen, sounds exciting. When do we get into the final stages?
So our next game will be on Sunday. Against, I don't know who yet. I mean, I'm watching the games as we speak. Currently, Georgia are 2-0 up against Portugal. So, yeah, some quite interesting results coming through. So, yeah, it should be quite interesting in the knockout stages. I have a funny feeling that there's going to be names that people didn't necessarily expect going deep in this tournament.
Right. I think the biggest surprise is that Georgia is the name of a country. I had no idea. Yeah. And I guess what? I would like every American listening to this podcast right now to be honest with yourselves and raise your hand if you knew that Georgia was a country. Yeah. Keep that hand up. All right. We're stupid in the United States. We don't know anything outside of here. We have enough problems.
Yankoid imbeciles.
Yankoid imbeciles. Love it. Love it. I'm all about isolationism at this point. Let's just float in the ocean. Leave everybody alone. Everybody leave us alone. Tired of it. Tired of winning all these wars for everybody. That's my favorite one. That always gets everybody all riled up. Oh, I love that one. Oh, so good. All right. Joel, New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? That's what we talk about.
Just one thing I wanted to talk about before New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I feel a bit bad about this because I did promise to do this before, but I completely forgot, and that was the second annual Barriaga Must Suffer fundraiser for LGBTQ youth in our Discord. So we did that. Well, he organized and ran it last year, and we just gave it a little plugger on the podcast and did really well. And he raised a lot of money for the Ali Forney Center for LGBTQ homeless youth. So he's running that again this year. And details for that you can find in our Bets and Pick'ems channel on the Discord. So anyone who's in the Discord, you can find that there. And if you're not in the Discord and you have no intention of going on the Discord, that's absolutely fine as well. But if you are interested in contributing, then reach out, let me know, and I will figure out a way where you can contribute to this because it is for a really great cause. And, yeah, it's something that I believe quite strongly in, so... Well done to everyone who's contributed so far.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you know what? For the first time, I'll say, don't give us money. Give, you know, move it that way. Move it to a.
Why not both?
Well, you know what?
Yeah, if you have to make the choice, give it to the Ali Forney.
That was very Ricky Gervais of you. Why not both? Yes. Yeah. Come on, you tightwads. Give it up. All right. Yes. I was going to, like, I had this thought, like, I'll match any donation. I was like, I don't have that kind of money. Wouldn't it be great if we were a podcast that was, like, that important and we could do that? We could be like, we'll match your donation. No, we can't. We don't have any money. We can't do that. But our hearts are in the right place. And you know what? You send me as well. I'll see what I can do. See what I can throw in there. All right. Might as well put our monies where our mouths are, as they say. Okay. You know what? I think it's time for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And you know why? Because.
Let me give you two options here. We can talk G1 qualifiers and the New Japan Soul Tour, or we can talk Forbidden Door. Where would you like to go first?
Let's get Forbidden Door out of the way. Let's get that out of the way.
And what do you mean? Like it's some sort of chore? Like
it is.
We have to eat our vegetables before we get to the fun stuff.
Yeah, I can't tell you that how much I feel that. Yes. Yeah. Let's get the exercise and let's clean our plates, so to speak, before we hit the desserts.
Right, so this is Forbidden Door, which is a co-promoted, according to the posters at least, event by All Elite Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling coming up June the 30th in the UBS Arena. Yeah. So here's the card so far. And of course, there may be stuff added to it, but this is what we've got so far. So the main event, as according to Wikipedia, is Swerve Strickland versus Will Ospreay for the AEW World Championship. The second match below that, we've got Konosuke Takeshita versus Mark Briscoe versus Jack Perry versus Dante Martin versus Leo Rush versus TBD, a ladder match for the vacant AEW TNT Championship. We've got Mercedes Mané versus Stephanie Vaquer in a winner-takes-all match for the AEW TBS Championship and NJPW Strong Women's Championship. We've got Timeless Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa for the AEW Women's World Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Orange Cassidy singles match. John Moxley versus Tetsuya Naito singles match for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. MJF versus Hechicero singles match. Bryan Danielson versus Shingo Takagi, the Men's Owen Hart Cup Tournament first round. And a trios match between the Learning Tree of Chris Jericho, Big Bill, and Brian Keith against Samoa Joe, Hook, and Katsuyori Shibata. So that's the card we got so far, and more stuff may be added to that, but we have questions about this from our listeners. So Louis says, does this year's Forbidden Door show seem lackluster when it comes to New Japan talent on the show? Feels less forbidden than previous years. And Jake says, why does the pay-per-view build as AEW and NJPW only have three contracted NJPW wrestlers, not including Stephanie Vaquer, on the card? Well, you know, my count, I'm seeing Naito, Zach, Shingo, and I think Jeff Cobb put out an open challenge. I think Jeff Cobb might be or should be appearing on this, but according to this anyway, we've just got Naito, Zach, and Shingo. So what do you think? Is this, yeah, thoughts on this Forbidden Door card?
Well, look, if you look at it just as a show, it's pretty nice, right? Pretty good show on paper. Like if you're just looking at it as a show, if you're looking for the added benefit of this, you know, dream matchup thing, yeah, it's probably a little bit limited in that. I would say also, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like I think this week, like what do they run? They run tonight, Wednesday night. They're in Buffalo, and Hiromu Takahashi is there in a six-man tag. So I would expect him to be on the show. And who else? I thought I saw, was it Teton also there in Buffalo? So, I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't be on the Forbidden Door show. So, I don't know. I mean, it could expand a little bit more when it comes to New Japan. It's not a thing anymore. Like, it's just, like, I don't want to, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's the idea of this interpromotional supercard is, you know, I think it's been dead since last year. Maybe, to be fair, it's a good show, but yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, it just doesn't feel like it's anything like, again, like this wacky, crazy fantasy booked show. Again, not to say that it's not going to be good. It sounds like it's going to be good. But yeah, I see the idea of if this is a joint AEW New Japan show, there is some glaring weight disparities when it comes to the amount of New Japan talent on the show. And that's for sure. That's for sure. But and I will say this as well. Again, these are wrestlers. They're used to traveling the globe and being in one place one night and on the other side of the world the next. But I'm kind of glad. I like the idea of New Japan Pro Wrestlers not being involved so much. Because there's a lot of people that we're counting on when it comes to G1, and I want them ready to go. I don't want any excuses. I don't want any injuries. I want them in a plastic bubble until G1 starts. So, yes, for a wrestling fan who is expecting crazy matchups, dream matchups. I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought Shingo and, it's Shingo and Danielson, right?
Correct.
I thought they wrestled before. I could have sworn they did in Ring of Honor. Maybe.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, both of them are, you know, they're not spring chickens, that's for sure. I think that'll be pretty great, right? I don't think anybody's hand-waving that. Zach and Orange Cassidy. Look, everybody, every time there's a match like this, it's like Orange Cassidy. But you know what? Truth be told, Orange Cassidy a lot of times delivers. I think it's a kind of an odd match, but okay, let's see what they can do. Naito and Mox should be okay. Should be good. I think we're going to see a title change there here. I want to be, well, let's put it this way. I want to be surprised if we see a title change here. So yeah, I mean, we might have a fun show. We might have a fun show. It's kind of flying under the radar a little bit though, don't you think?
Yeah, because I mean, we've said from the start, this Forbidden Door thing is, it's an AEW show where New Japan wrestlers are being borrowed for it, right? I don't think it's fair or accurate to say that this is, you know, 50-50 co-branded, co-promoted show, because right, it's not that. And the suspicion for a lot of people is that Tony Khan's interest in New Japan is limited to sort of 2018 to 2019. And when Forbidden Door was initially a thing, we saw a lot of dream matches, but now sort of looking back on those are wrestlers that Tony Khan has gone and signed. So, you know, we're looking at like Ospreay and Omega and Danielson versus Okada. You know, he signed Will Ospreay and he signed Kazuchika Okada. So a lot of people were saying, well, if Tony just ends up signing all the New Japan guys that he likes, then that compromises the appeal of Forbidden Door to be this dream match show. And I think that's been vindicated here. Yeah. That's what it looks like. It looks like, you know, he's only interested in using, like, again, Naito, Zach, Shingo. Whereas we've got a question here from Matthew. Says people are saying that the Reiwa boys should be on Forbidden Door to grow their profile in the States. Is that good sense? Yeah. Or should we be hiding these treasures from Tony Khan for as long as we can? Yeah, I mean, ideally, you would want people like that being given a platform in the States on the show, but for whatever reason, it's not happening. I mean, again, these guys might get added, but it seems unlikely at this point. But yeah, I just think Tony Khan's not really interested in using any of the pushed acts, the pushed commodities in New Japan at the moment.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, look at the singles champions we've got. I mean, guys like El Desperado or you know, Gay Kid or Henare or David Finlay. No interest.
Good.
Absolutely no interest from Tony Khan in using them.
And love it. Yeah,
maybe that's for the best.
Yes.
I'm not upset about this at all. I'm absolutely fine with a Forbidden Door card. And I want to see New Japan wrestlers wrestling on New Japan shows. I'm sure this show will be good. I'll watch it. I'll enjoy it. But I am not losing any sleep over the lack of New Japan representation on there, because we know where that ends up.
Yeah. I'm fine with. I know that seems strange and maybe counterproductive, but I'm okay with it, because let's be very honest. Aside from being a platform for Tony to cherry pick talent, and offer them dazzling contracts, like, what benefit is this to anyone? I mean,
exposure, a little yummy exposure again. Yum, yum, yum. Lovely exposure.
Well, guess what that exposure has done? Nothing for New Japan. It's nothing. Like, where are we? Like, we've got a couple.
Less than nothing. We've lost all our best wrestlers. Right.
I mean, I'm okay. Like, I know we've had some pretty decent houses, and I don't know how that money is divided. I'm sure it's not an even 50-50, but okay. Aside from that, give me what the benefit is. Like, what is the benefit? It's to satisfy, as Tony would like to say, what does he call them? Idiots or we're nuts or psycho? What are
sickos?
What, sickos? Okay. Yeah. So it's to satisfy sickos, and you know, some of us are more sick than others. But yes, it feels like that's what it is. I'm okay with Henare not being on it. I'm okay with like any one of the rising stars that we have under our promotion. I'm okay with, like, if you want to take every single battered, you know, that you battered guy that you remember from, you know, 2019, go for it. You want Kojima? You got him. Nagata? He's available. You want, Who else is on this roster that we would say have no problem? You want Chase Owens? You want Kenta? By all means. They're available. Well, one of them is. Yeah, take them. By all. Yano? He's hilarious. You'll love him. He does all kinds of wacky things. You'll love him.
I did find it quite funny to hear that Tony Khan is not into Yano at all and refuses to have him on the shows. I thought that sort of thing would have been right up his street.
Me too. That's weird. Okay. Well, I mean, his whole fucking promotion is a comedy promotion, but you get it because you
got him, fucking
got him. I got him. Take that. Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm okay with it. Now, again, if you're looking forward to this on a Sunday night to pop on and watch, and you were expecting something a little bit more, yep. And if you're comparing this one to the first one, yep, I would say that as well. It's much different, but it's a much different world and a much different climate. I just think it's like, so there's like Okada is not on the show, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Jay White, because he lost, he can't contractually appear on any New Japan show. But no Jay White, right?
That is right.
No Juice Robinson, right? Okay. Interesting, right? Interesting. Wouldn't you think that those would be, I don't know, some of the people that you would want to have on there? You know, why not?
Yeah. See, this is the thing, right? You brought up a good point here, which is I think I'm not subscribing to the mentality that there are no cross-promotional dream matches left. There are.
Yeah.
If you think creatively and if you are bold and sort of set aside the politics of it, there's really interesting stuff you could do. Like, I don't know, just throwing it out there, Jay White versus David Finlay off the top of my head. Or the, what are they called? Whatever Jay White's group is called against the War Dogs. Like, there's interesting stuff you could do, but it just feels like, I don't, either the politics is a barrier or Tony Khan's not interested. So whilst there are potential dream matches left, I don't think we're going to get them.
No. No. And I think that is a major sticking point, right? And when you win, again, a guy who doesn't really even follow AEW's product all that much can rattle off guys that aren't on the show that you would think, boy, they should be on the show. I mean, it's pro wrestling. I'm sure we can make a workaround of Jay White not being able to appear on a New Japan Pro Wrestling show. Like, I'm sure we can get around that. But, okay, we're not doing that. All right. I don't know. I wish I had the answers. I don't. And here's the thing. It's probably for the better. You know.
Yeah, I want us to stay in our lane.
I do too. Correct. Yep. I'm content with that. I'm content with that. So, not to beat the dead horse, but yep, they got who they got. Not worried about it. You want Sonata? By all means. By all means. Go for it. You want, I mean, there's plenty that you can go for. I'll be very truthful. I'm not interested in this partnership at all. I'm just not. It does nothing for me. Just for all the reasons that we just talked about. It really does nothing for me.
I would disagree because I think there is a lot of value that's come out of it. And I think it's maybe what? Less lopsided than it was. Konosuke Takeshita in the G1. That's a massive win for New Japan. So,
but is that because of the AEW relationship, or is that because here's a guy that has made it public, at least to a certain degree, that he's a little bit discontent with what's going on with his role in AEW, and he could just fucking leave AEW and go in G1. You know what I mean? Like, do you really think that was Tony Khan sitting?
I don't know what the contractual status is, but presumably Tony Khan would have been within his right to say, no, you're not doing G1 because I want you to do XYZ on Dynamite over the next few weeks. So I don't know. Maybe this is just me being naive or a generous read of the situation, but I will chalk that up to us actually getting something nice out of the relationship and Tony Khan playing ball.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
And Tony Khan gets Will Ospreay. That'll, you know, doesn't feel like an even trade. Is he under contract, by the way? With AEW?
Takeshita?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I've not think done he the research. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, don't sweat it, but I'm sure somebody will let us know. But I don't know 100% that he is. I don't think he's working on a contract. I could be wrong. I could be dead wrong. But like him walking away, I don't think is any real legal ramifications. So he could just fucking do
it. And they would not miss him at all.
They would not.
They would not miss him, and it would make a massive difference to New Japan.
Oh,
a massive difference to him. Like, he might not be earning the same amount of money, but...
You know, money can't buy happiness, Joel. Nice. Come on. Let's sell that to him. Yeah, it would be tremendous. Well, listen, here's what we're getting. We're getting him in G1, and let's see where it goes from here. So, all right, Forbidden Door this Sunday on PPV, right? All right. Is there any
juice? Is there any point in us like previewing Moxley versus Naito? Is there anything interesting to say there?
It's weird that there's not, but I mean, I think we're betting the house that Naito is winning this title, right?
Yeah, but I just think why here? Why do it on a US show I think, you know, my initial prediction was that Naito's going to win it back at Dominion,
right?
Because, you know, that's going to pop a nice house at Osaka Joe Hall. But that's left me scratching my head a bit. Like, what is the upside for New Japan in having Naito win it?
Joel, I've been saying this about the whole fucking title reign. Like, again, let's just hit pause and look back at his run. Like, I'm sure if we look back in, if we did the same thing in like 5 years, we'd be like, what the fuck was that? Right, like what was that? Is this run going to go down as a historic run for New Japan Pro Wrestling, or not?
I would save the postmortem until he's actually lost the belt. Okay. I don't want to jinx it. Be like next week, we're like, so Mox successfully retains the title.
Right. But okay. So what would be your KPIs, as they would say in the business world, of Mox being champion? Like, is he like the guy that's drawing houses? Well, he did in Chicago. I'll give you that one. Absolutely. Like that show was on the back of that match. Trust me, we all know that. Like, this one's not selling that well. Like, I can go on Ticketmaster right now, and there's plenty of first level seats and relatively cheap. Like, I think I could get into a seat for less than $50, I think. So, you know, it's not like they're selling like hotcakes. Did he
pay? And I should add, neither are tickets for, what's the show coming up? Is it Capital Collision?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Is that not selling well? That's at the Verizon Center, if I'm not mistaken, right? In Washington.
That's right.
It's a big building. Those are two hockey arenas. 17,000, 16,000. So, yeah. Okay. Not selling well, huh? All right. So, but again, like, what was the net gain of Mox being our champion? Okay. Like, you're kind of hoping that it's a little bit more New Japan World subscriptions? Well, that didn't fucking happen because that website's shit. Is it that it's on AEW television? Okay, well, that has to equate to something profitable for New Japan. Like, what needle is he moving? Like, people might like it, but that doesn't necessarily equate to profitability or an increased interest in a product. I don't know. But help me out. Like, am I missing something? Like, do we have a boom?
No, honestly, I think we litigated this pretty thoroughly last week. I feel we'd just be sort of, raking up our grades at this point. And I agree with you. And, well, we will do the analysis of his title reign. Hopefully next week when it's back safe and sound, when it's coming home with Andre Tetsuya Naito.
Give me a scale 1 to 10, your confidence level of that happening.
10.
10? Yeah. I'm like 9.5. It just has to be. And didn't Naito, correct me if I'm wrong, did he officially put up his spot in G1?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I mean, unless he's like really hurt and injured and can't compete, I just can't see it happening. So I'll go 9.5. Watch us be dead wrong. We'll be here next week being like, what the fuck is happening?
That's our party trick. We're very good at doing
that. We really are. All right. There you go. There's your forbidden door. How's that?
There's one more question about Multiverse Aces. I was at the AEW taping last week. Oh, you traitor. Mm-hmm. And this Friday on Rampage, ELP, Gabe, and Shingo will wrestle. If Gabe and ELP are on door, which it seems that they will be at the taping, what would you like to see them do on the show?
Well, there you go.
The Gabe, I would love to see him. Gabe in some, I don't know, Gabe against Jay White. That would be really good. I'd like that. I think there'll be some interesting exchanges over the mic.
I'll tell you what I want him to do. I don't want a match. I want him to cause some fucking chaos. That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want him to.
Give him a live mic for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yep.
And let him go.
I want that fucking maniac to go in there and just cause havoc. It would be nice if it's in an important match. It would be great if it's a little high profile. I want Gabe Kidd to be Gabe Kidd-esque. Like, just go for it, lad. Do it. ELP, he can be in a match. It feels like, even though shit's not announced, there's a lot of people that are in this country working shows and doing shit. So, fingers crossed, we'll have more New Japan involvement and we'll see what that looks like. We don't know yet, but I don't even think they do, probably. Let's see. But as it stands right now, they're not on the show, but I think things will change drastically, especially again when you have Hiromu, ELP, Gabe. All those people that are possibilities. But again, I don't want him wrestling. I don't want a guy like Gabe. If you want to set up an angle, great. Fantastic. Love it. He doesn't need to be some fucking random six man.
There's another question about Gabe from William. He says, what did Gabe Kidd do that might get him into trouble with New Japan? No, I don't want to talk about that anymore. I think that is not something we ever said, that he's in trouble with New Japan. And I don't think he will get in trouble with New Japan. He's a push guy. They see the value in him. He's a strong champion. He's been put in this G1 where a lot of other people have been excluded. And I think they see plenty of upside with Gabe. That interview spot he did with the TV channel in the States. At no point have either of us said we think he's in trouble with New Japan. Gabe's great. He's going to be fine. Don't worry.
I wouldn't worry.
My last word on the matter.
Is that it? Is that the last word? Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. No more innuendos? No more? All right. Just making sure. All right.
Because this is what happens. Like when we play that game, then stuff gets misquoted and misrepresented, as has happened here. And Gabe's not in trouble at all.
Yeah. Who said that? Who said that? We said that.
Our friends over at Keeping It Strong Star.
Oh, that's all. Did we say that?
And I've not done that maliciously. I just think I think there were other people who. I don't want to do this. It's like doing the eyes emoji. I'm just moving on. He's not in trouble.
He's not in trouble. People that he's not in trouble. Don't. He's not in trouble. How about that? He's not in trouble.
Let's also run with this hypothetical here. So Jordan says, if Shota drops out of the G1 due to injury, who replaces him? Do you think...
What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We're going to get back to your show in just a moment. Before we do that, I do want to thank our sponsor, Arena Club. And one of my favorite card collecting memories as a kid were those trading card binders that everybody had. It was like a whole playground marketplace displaying, trading, and judging each other's collections. And while collecting has come a long way since then... And now there's a new way to buy, sell, and trade cards. It's called Arena Club. Whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the all-in-one trading card platform you have to sign up for. at arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Yes, we have our own link, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. I am on there. I've bought stuff. I've traded stuff. I've displayed stuff. I love it. I think it's a great, great replacement for those old trading card binders. Nobody really wants it. You really want to lug that thing around to your friend's house anymore? No, you don't. You want a better way to do it, a new way to do it, a modern way to do it, and that is what Arena Club is. Arena Club has created a new way to grade, collect, sell, and trade your cards by converting the physical to the digital. You display your cards in your personal online showroom, or better yet, on your mobile device as well. When you're buying, no more shipping delays or cards lost in transit. None of that stuff. Arena Club uses blockchain technology to deliver your card immediately, and you can buy with confidence knowing that every card on Arena Club is guaranteed authentic. Now, grading, it's all about grading these days, and the Arena Club grading process combines AI and human grading for accurate, fast, and transparent grading with full grade rationale provided and an explanation of how your card was scored. Trading, big part of the old schoolyard was trading. Well, now you can make offers, send trades, and interact. You can create your own personal showroom and start building your collection today. So now the good part. We told you about that arenaclub.com/VOWnet. It's even better. Right now, you can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to that link again, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. That's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. And we thank Arena Club for sponsoring the podcast network.
It would be one of these guys in the, you know, could they take a losing finalist from this qualifying tournament if Shota is not able to go? Or do you think they get someone from another company, or what would you do if, in this hypothetical situation, Shota is not able to compete in the G1? And I think he will be.
Yeah.
I think he'll be fine. But again, we're just running with this hypothetical scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. Well, if he were unable to compete, I think the easiest thing to do, and I wouldn't want him to do this, but like an easy thing would be, okay, whoever lost in the finals of the play-in, you could say, okay, you're in, because you would have been the next person in line, so to speak. Would they go outside? They could, but it's a little bit last minute. And keep in mind, you know, it's not like we need them for one show. We need them for a good month, right? At least, it feels like. So I think it'd be somebody rostered. And if I were booking it, if I'm trying to be as like likely that it would happen as possible, I would probably do the something like you lost in the tournament, but you're still in somehow kind of thing. That would be the easiest way to go.
Some sort of last chance.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you would.
Yoshihashi, he'd be my guy.
It's not a bad pick. I mean, I was kind of surprised that he would be even, you know, in the play-in kind of thing. It does leave the door open to a lot of people that we were happy to not see. But again, we're talking about a scenario that by no means has been officialed. And I, truth be told, I haven't heard anything saying that he would not be in. So I'm going to go with he's in. And if we just channel our positive thoughts, maybe that'll just happen and we'll be okay.
We've got interesting updates from Euro 2024 here. So if this is correct, I believe our opponents this Sunday would be Slovakia.
Oh, come on.
And then we'd face, if we beat Slovakia, which, again, I'm not taking that for granted, we'd face the win. Again, right, 2016, we lost to fucking Iceland. We're at the 16, so I'm not taking anything for granted here. Then we face the winner of Switzerland, Italy, and then in the same side of the bracket as us, as a, you know, potential semi-final, should we get that far, there's Romania, Netherlands, Austria, Turkey. So yeah, some quite new and unusual names there. So I find that quite exciting. Whereas other side of the bracket, there's Spain against Georgia, Germany against Denmark, Portugal against Slovenia, and France versus Belgium. So, you know, you might run with Spain and Germany and Portugal and France going deep there. But I think it's pretty cool seeing new refreshing names like, you know, Romania and Austria and Turkey getting a nice run of the tournament. But yeah, no more football. Sorry.
No.
Let's go back.
I learned something new. Again, Georgia. I didn't know Iceland was a part of Europe. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know what they would have been categorized as. Like, not North America. Like, is it part of it in North America? Like, the aren't I'm looking at Wikipedia right now.
It's Scandinavia, isn't it? Iceland?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's more toward, like, Canada and Nova Scotia, right? Like, when I go to London, I'm flying over. All right. Listen. But see, here's the first thing. I literally Googled, is Iceland considered part of Europe? And according to Blue Car Rental, which is the first result, the juggernaut of information, Blue Car Rental, officially Iceland is in Europe. However, geographically, Iceland is technically both in Europe and North America. And then, you know how you get people ask, blah, 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 why is Iceland not part of Europe? I thought it was. There's a lot of fishing talk going on here. I don't know. They're apparently. Oh yeah. Why Iceland has not joined the European Union? So they're not in the European Union. All right. Is there anybody from Iceland that listens to the show?
Britain aren't in the European Union either.
What's that?
We left, if you remember. Britain left the European Union several years ago. So that doesn't mean you're not part of Europe.
Well, how can you have a European Union and not be in Europe?
Let's not open this can of worms, David.
This is a political thing. Start getting angry. All right, very good. I don't understand what's happening over there. Craziness. All right. Let's talk. What do you want to talk about?
New Japan Seoul.
All right.
Let's talk about G1 qualifiers. Right, because honestly, outside of those G1 qualifier matches, there's not really anything interesting to talk about, in my opinion, apart from new young man Daiki Nagai, who's annoyed all the old people on Twitter because he said something along the lines of, I'm not interested in just being a salary man. And that's that's annoyed all the salary men and calling him impolite. So that was quite an interesting turn. And I think something that he should lean into. That should be his whole gimmick, the salary man disrespecter. They should do vignettes of him going into, you know, the diners and the bars late at night and just like not roughing up the salary men, but just disrespecting them. Just you doing like microaggressions towards them.
Yeah. I mean, can't we get like I don't know, we could find some trainees, some indie guys maybe to take a couple bumps, you know? That'd be fine, we could do that. That's a shame. We don't want any disrespect to the salary man. Love the salary man. Although I have noticed a lot more content coming from Shibuya Meltdown. I don't know if you've noticed that, Joel. A lot of drinking going on over there. A lot of drinking. A lot of salarymen lying on curbs and train stops, just kind of sleeping things off. Rough times over there. Rough times. All right. Here's my overarching thoughts. Love what I'm seeing so far. The results are almost completely in line with what I would love to have seen.
Really refreshing, isn't it?
Oh, like, my God.
They've not teased any of the shitters going deep in these brackets to generate heat. They've just fucked them all off immediately in the first round. They're giving me things that I like to see.
Yes.
And I'm a little bit scared. Oh, brave New Japan world that has such good wrestlers in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a absolute fun time because it feels as if someone has logged into our brains a little bit and have said, all right, here you go, fuck faces. We're going to do exactly what you want. Let's see if that pops business.
They gave us the book.
Yeah.
We've got the book.
It's us. It's us. We're making the booking decisions. Walker Stewart, you're fired.
I'll tell you, when he said, when Chase Owens is making his entrance, when he called him, and I quote, one of the most gifted athletes in New Japan.
Yeah, I lost my breath on that one.
Words have no meaning anymore.
Oh, that was a good one. I loved it. I got no complaints, and not only do I have no complaints, I'm excited. A, for the fact that they decided to have some type of play-in to get in, which I thought was again something that we've been chirping about for a long, long time. Then the idea of using that tournament to be a little bit of a, I don't want to say a heat magnet, but just to help build up people that need to be built up, and rightfully so. And these are people that have enough stock in who they are to make it feel somewhat important. This G1, we've said it a thousand times, even on the last show, but I'll make it 1,001. I feel like this G1 is one of the more important ones in the history of this company. It really is. I can't stress it enough. And the fact that they're going for it is like, you spent 15 minutes, 20 minutes talking about England and how they have all this talent, and they're just not even remotely aggressive enough. And they're not just, they're in fact playing just boring football. We had that for years. Like, we had that in a pro wrestling sense for years, it felt like. And it feels like we're turning the corner. And it feels like at least in the beginning here with this play-in tournament, that like they recognized their errors, and they're doing their damnedest to correct those, and we have a path, and it's clear, and like the fog has lifted, and away we go. Like, we're en route, we're in the car, we're driving to the destination, and it feels really good. It does feel really good. Call your friends. You know, call your friends. Let them know. Let them know what is happening, because I think they'll want to be on the ground floor of this. This is cool shit that's happening right now.
Well, let's talk about some of the qualification matches that happened last week. So we had a Block A qualifier tournament first round with Callum Newman defeating Yujiro Takahashi 12 minutes, 12 seconds. The match was all right. I mean, it's what you'd expect, really, with Yujiro doing all his heelish stuff and Callum working from below. Yujiro's, I don't think, he's not a guy that we're like, oh yeah, finally they've taken him out of the G1, because I think he was only in there in COVID times out of like absolute necessity, because there was literally no one else. But I am sort of thinking back to those, you know, the dark days of COVID in like 2021, when everyone on the Discord was just like gaslighting each other into thinking that Yujiro was good. So I'm glad we got those days behind us. And I don't think there was ever any chance of Yujiro being in this one, because like, he shouldn't have been back in the first place. But Callum Newman. Okay. So yeah, he looked good here, but you know, he's not being the Will Cosprey allegations with the Ozcutter as his finisher. I mean, that might play into a long-term story where, you know, maybe he's got to develop that and change that and come up with his own move and be his own man if he's going to, you know, win the big one, or whether that's winning the qualification final match, or maybe, you know, it's his last match in the G1 block and he's like, oh, I've got to change it up. I've got to stop, you know, trying to channel my mentor here and be my own man. But that's me doing the classic Shinnihon freak thing of doing all the heavy narrative lifting for a company that doesn't really put a huge amount into it themselves. But it's interesting to see how far Callum can go here, because he's got Kenta in the next round, and it's not a given that he's going to beat him. But I do still believe that with the kind of booking that Callum Newman's had recently, and from what I hear, what people think of him backstage, I still am tipping him to go all the way in this qualification block. But what were your thoughts on Callum against Yujiro and Callum versus Kenta in the next round?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anybody was on the edge of their seat in the sense of this is, you know, great pro wrestling. It was, you know, it did what needed to be done. But I will say that people might have been on a little bit of the edge of their chair when it comes to the, you know, the finish and what we were hoping to have happen. I don't think it's just like, look, we have had the rug pulled out from under us for a long time, it feels like. And they easily could have said, well, you know what? Yujiro goes on because of how we've always been doing things. I think the Kenta one has me somewhat concerned. We're not going to give predictions, but I mean, we're in at least we're in this situation where we're discussing the fact that, okay, can this guy get, you know, can Kenta put this guy over and make this something special? Like, again, I don't want to see a 40-year-old Kenta in G1. I just don't. I'm sorry. It's 2024. Give it to the young buck. Pardon the pun. Give it to the guy who doesn't have as many miles and can go. And I truly believe the best is yet to come. Yes, the idea of making him his own man is going to be an important step in this. And I think that's going to be part of the package that we get. Does he win? I don't know. I don't know. Like, I still feel like, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do it. But in the same breath, I know this company, and it would not shock me to have Kenta win. It really wouldn't. And honestly, this is really about Kenta, I feel like. Like, it's like, I guarantee you there was a conversation to be had that was, hey, you think you can do this? And it's really going to be his call. We'll see, man. We'll see. But like I said, the people who should have won, in at least in our eyes, I think, and I'm speaking for you too here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like the people who should have won, and like that's you have to get through step one to get to step two. So pretty happy with it. Pretty happy. And again, the match was, it did what it needed to do, but like it was the result that I was like, just little fist pumps coming my way. just because it feels like it's happening. I don't want to get too wrapped up in it, but it feels like it's happening.
Well, Damon, the Whistle Back Needle was off the charts with the match after that, which was Yoshihashi defeating Chase Owens in 40 minutes. And when Chase came out, he had the boo-boo face. And I thought, you know, am I reading too much into this? But he did look like someone had just killed his dog. Aww. That said, I thought he worked really hard. I'm not going to accuse him of like phoning it in because he was angry that he wasn't winning the match. I thought he did a pretty serviceable job here. And yeah, maybe talk about his exclusion from the G1, because he's not a terrible wrestler. He's a perfectly serviceable lower card heel who's got no business being in the G1 climax with the top 20 heavyweights. Like, this kind of match should be his ceiling, where it's, you know, relatively low stakes, and putting over, you know, someone like Yoshihashi or a younger guy. So I don't, you know, I'm not going to be one of these people saying like he has absolutely no value to New Japan Pro Wrestling, because there is value there in having someone like him where, you know, you're cheering when he loses. But I don't want to see him in no G1. I don't want to see him with any title belts, singles or tag. And yeah, this is what I want to see from him. Yoshihashi, yeah, he's an interesting one just in terms of what his value potential he would bring to a grade one climax compared to Goto, because Goto went straight in, and you know there's kayfabe reasons for that, but I just thought that was an interesting one where they've not really addressed it, why Goto gets in but Yoshihashi doesn't. And I do kind of feel, if we're talking in-ring, Yoshihashi's a bit more consistent and he's a bit more physically durable. I think Goto has the higher ceiling, and I think that's, you know, borne out by the excellent New Japan Cup final match you had with Yota Tsuji. But right. I don't, with the G1 meat grinder, I do have worries about that. But
I think he can still
go.
I do. I think Goto can still go. And you nailed it with the cup. Like that's how I think he got in. Like the New Japan Cup final, like making it that far probably helped seal his ticket.
And the next round, then we got Yoshihashi facing Ishii in the main event at Korakuen Hall, which is good, very, very tasty. Yeah,
two good buddies.
I think that's right. I mean, they've teamed before. I believe they were they tag team champions together, like IWGP tag champions. I know they held the Never Belts together.
I don't think so.
I think they might.
I don't think they did.
I know they did tag together for a while, but I don't know if they actually won those titles. But yeah, they've definitely got history together, being part of the same faction, and I think that'll be a really good match. I don't think Yoshihashi will win that, because I just think there's that symmetry there with Ishii against Callum Newman, where that's a nice little sort of mirroring the match that they had previously where Ishii beat Callum and then Callum can beat Ishii in the final. I think that'll be a really great moment for him. So I do expect Ishii to go through, but I'm really excited for the Yoshihashi Ishii match. So yeah, how are we feeling on Yoshihashi?
Yeah, he's a guy that probably, I would say, in for, you know, all the things that he was able to accomplish in the worst of times and in the toughest of times, like we said it a million times, he's one guy that shined. How difficult is that? You know, I guess having no personality at that moment was helpful because he didn't have to play to any crowd. He didn't have to do any of it. So he looked great. I'm kidding, of course. He probably should be in it. If you're asking for in or out, he probably should be in it. But so he takes on Big Tom, which is pretty cool match. Pretty cool. Do you think it's a guarantee that Ishii wins, though? Like, could that be, like, could we flip that and say, okay, this is a Yoshihashi big moment?
Yeah, I think Ishii versus Callum has more appeal to it than Yoshi versus Callum. But then we could be getting Yoshihashi versus Kenta. So, you know, no, I'm not taking anything for granted. I do think the chalk pick is Ishii and Callum Newman. Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't be upset if Yoshihashi won. I think that's a very cool underdog story. Thinking of the lady from the, was it the 2018?
The one in tears. G1. Yeah.
Crying lady. Yeah. She's eating big right now. She's living her best life.
Yeah.
But yeah, the important thing is Chase Owens, not the G1.
Yeah, here's the thing. I like Chase. I don't hate him. But you're right. It's like it's just about where do I got to see Chase? Right? And there are things where I'm totally fine and content. And there are places where it's like, oh boy, there's not a better option. But yeah, putting people over in situations like this is always thumbs up for me. Man, I tell you what, that Cork and Hall is going to be rocking. I think that main event is going to deliver big time. That's going to be fun. I wonder what that conversation was with Tomohiro. I wonder what that conversation was like. Like, can you go? Because truth be told, aside from Callum being in it and you know, probably losing more than he's winning, but again, the story of him getting in, blah, blah, blah. Aside from that, like, Ishii's a guy that you would really want in. Like, if he can go, God, you won't really want him in G1. You do. You really do. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, he's a guy you'd be asking like every day. Can you go?
Yeah.
You sure you can't go? And then eventually if he's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And then you're like, sorry, Callum. You try
the next year. Right. We'll get you next year. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's an exciting time because it feels like the one thing that is kind of exciting is that I don't trust New Japan. Like, I don't trust them right now. Like, they're doing things that are getting me excited, but I don't trust them. So there is this bit of anxiety that comes along with this, is in the sense of, man, are they going to fuck us over again? Are they going to pull the rug out from under us? But even if they, quote, pull the rug out from under us, all the options seem pretty good, right? There's really not that much of a shitty option. Like, it feels like all the turds have been eliminated. Okay, we got Kenta.
Yeah, Kenta is the most, like, terrorism option left.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if we can get that.
Sorry, Jay Michael. He's going to hate us saying that, but that, we've got face facts.
Yeah, but he's also probably the biggest name, aside from Tanahashi. Like, Kenta's a bigger name than Ishii.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, when we say bigger name, like, what, are we thinking that Kenta's going to be moving serious tickets?
No.
For the climax? Like, probably not.
No. But like, you know, if you're going to, and again, I don't want to use casual wrestling fans as the goalpost, but I don't know, just like he's associated with pro, well, so are all of them. Associated is not the word I'm looking for. Like, again, if we were going to rank them in pro wrestling importance, I guess whatever that means, I would think Kenta would be at the top of the list of the people that are remaining, right? Them and him and Tanahashi. Like, if you're just looking for a name, like, if you just don't want to fill that spot with a guy who we're not committed to, you know, those are the best options, don't you think? Like, name-wise. No.
Yeah, I suppose. But again, I don't know what. Yeah. What is the point in?
Well, no one's moving tickets.
I mean, Tanahashi. I'll come on to Tanahashi. I'm going to save discussion for him for when we talk about the other qualification tournament. So, I mean, let's move on. Let's talk about the other side, which was Oleg Bolton defeating Toriano, 9 minutes, 16 seconds. It's a decent match. Surprisingly light on the Yano shenanigans. I thought there was some pretty good mat wrestling down the stretch, and the low blow was a quite good near fall. I thought Yano had him there, and I liked Oleg continuing to sell the injured testicles after the three count. So here's an interesting one here, because Bolton, he's still presented as a young lion. You know, he's got the young lion trunks. He's got the young lion theme. There is nothing to suggest that he's graduated. He hasn't, even though he is a never six-man title holder. So it's interesting to sort of look at and think how big of an upset this is. Like, how much of a show of faith in Oleg Bolton is this? Because Yano is a guy who has consistently been in the G1 since, like, I don't know, it's like 2007 or something. So him getting eliminated by a young lion is something that I think we need to put that into context. Like, that's really big for Oleg. That's a huge result for him. But he's got Tanahashi next, and
that's big.
I don't think a young lion is being Hiroshi Tanahashi, because one, I don't even know if Oleg has got the skills to work a full G1, because he's just not been tested yet. So I think that is not something that they're going to be pursuing this year. And, you know, Oleg could be better off going on excursion to sort of round his skill set out, because, yeah, it doesn't look like he's a guy that they're going to throw into the deep end there. But yeah, the Yano exclusion itself, I think, has a lot of significance. And so a lot of questions to think about. Like, when was the last time he was actually funny? Yano matches stick in your head. I mean, there was one that I quite enjoyed with Kenny Omega in like 2017.
Where he taped his fucking legs together and he hopped.
Yes, that's right. And the DVD, a present for you. And then it was filled with like talcum powder. But yeah, do we need a night off in the Grade One Climax? Are we saying, you know, fuck that noise this year? We're going to work. We got to drag this company's name out of the mud. Or maybe we're looking in other places for the night off and looking at like the Evil or Red matches in their respective blocks. So yeah, a lot of really interesting things to unpick from this Bolton versus Yano match.
Yeah, let's come up with a new idea, right? Let's come up with it. I'm okay with the idea of someone being an off night, right? I'm okay with the theory of that. But let's switch it up a little bit. Let's do something different. It doesn't always have to be Yano being that person. So that night off might not necessarily look the same. Like, it doesn't have to be a comedy match, but there's plenty of ways to get around it. Or your second option is, you have a bunch of 20-year-olds in this fucking tournament, right? Let's keep that in mind, right? We have arguably the most athletically gifted, talented young crop. Now, I'm not saying greatness in pro wrestling, mind you, but like, these are all guys that are at the peak of their physical conditioning, right? You're only going down from here. Like, let's take advantage of that a little bit. Let's take advantage of that. Do you have to go 20 minutes? Do you have to go 12 minutes? Do you have to go? No, you can go 5. You can have a great 5. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Mix it up a little bit. Get creative. Keep people on the fucking edge of their seats. The great thing about Yano was that there were times where he would pull that out, right? He would fucking do that, you know, hair pull, roll up, ball shot, roll up, thing, reversal, boom, and have you like, what the fuck? And then, you know, many times, maybe not many times, but quite a few times, you know, big names are losing in this fashion. Okay, cool, fine. I mean, it's been done to death, but okay, let's change it up a little bit. Let's make it, it's okay if somebody loses and has an off night and loses in 5 minutes. It's perfectly fine. And with the people that we have in G1, it's perfectly acceptable and it's plausible too. So let's go that route. Like, it doesn't have to be wacky shenanigans. It could be a hard-hitting 5-minute match, right? It could be, hey, we're doing moves. You know, we're doing fucking, you know, we're doing mat work, whatever. However you want this to fucking go down, it can happen. So let's not use the excuse of that we do need a night off. I have no problem with the concept of it. No problem. But two, let's be creative. And three, let's take advantage of the fact that we have a lot of youth and a lot of physically gifted young wrestlers in this tournament that can go and don't necessarily need that time off.
You giving Oleg any shot of beating Tanahashi?
We won't. No, I'm not. And here's the thing, because, well, here's the value. The value is either him getting in, Tanahashi getting in, or losing and putting somebody over to get in, right? And we've said it all along. I don't know if we do that at this early, right? I think the big swing will be that final match. And if he's in it and losing to someone to get them in, that's where the excitement is. That's where the juice is. So I'm going to say no. And I think that's perfectly okay. And I think it's perfectly fine. And if it's Tanahashi who wins the whole ball of wax, great. Let it be his last one. He can announce that as, hey, you know what? I'm in. I'm surprised that even I'm in at this point. But fuck it, I'm in. And let it be known, I'm going to give you everything I got, like I always do. And this is my last one. You mean to tell me people wouldn't be interested in that? You mean to tell me people wouldn't scoop up tickets for that? I think they would. So there's value both ways. Value both ways. But I don't think Oleg's the guy that gets the rub here.
And then the final match to talk about here was TJP defeating Satoshi Kojima in 12 minutes, 50 seconds. I thought it was a pretty good match. There's an interesting story within it of TJP attacking Koji's strongest arm. Rendering it useless, so he had to use his left arm instead, which was not as effective. But yeah, big upset here, Dave. We've got junior heavyweight pinned the MLW World Heavyweight Champion. So I'm sure a lot of political finagling went on backstage to allow that to happen. But it's good. I mean, I think New Japan have clearly missed the boat on extracting something of genuine value from doing like a final Kojima G1 run, because, you know, he's not been in it since, I think, 2017 was the last time. And yeah, he seems to be more valuable to other promotions rather than being a pin eater in the G1, although he could probably still do a decent job. Like, I think he can still go to some extent, although would I say he's significantly better than any of the current 18 guys in the G1? That will be a tough sell for me. But yeah, TJP has been talking a lot this year, and he's also talking a lot about Callum Newman. And I think it does seem very unlikely that both United Empire guys go through in their respective brackets. So I'm just curious as to what you think is like the most sensible and satisfying narrative payoff there, because they're sort of like intertwined, and TJP's talking about how they're all going to be supporting each other. So maybe it's a situation where like TJP gets eliminated, but then he's in Callum's corner and helps sort of mentor him and show his value as a captain in a sort of a support role rather than like I'm, you know, the ace of this wrestling group. So I think that would be a fun and rewarding way for that to play off with Callum going through. Because we do have Tai Chi versus TJP in the next round. And of course, I've mentioned before, TJP already has a pin over Tai Chi. So I do expect Tai Chi to get that back. And there's a lot of stuff that I'm finding very interesting with Tai Chi. He's doing this thing where he's staring at the camera, which is like an ongoing bit between him and Tanahashi, and talking using like sort of sumo parallels about him getting relegated to the Juryo division and how he's got to get his way back up to the Makuchi division, I believe. So I think that is the play for the B block players, where I think we're heading towards a Tai Chi versus Tanahashi final, which I think there's a lot of intrigue in that one. I think that would be really exciting for me. So, yeah, how do you feel about TJP versus Kojima and TJP, how far he goes, and TJP versus Tai Chi and all of that?
Yeah, so I thought it was probably one, if not the best, one of the better play-in matches. I think TJP's really good. I really do. I think and nothing has been confirmed, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of those guys that kind of makes that graduation from junior to heavy. And again, it makes no sense in the sense that it doesn't seem like he's grown in any fashion, but again, stranger things have happened. Kojima is weird in the sense that he loves being in the States, it feels like. Like, he really does. So I don't know if that was too surprising, the finish. I think it's good that an established guy helped put over, maybe not a guy that's completely established to a certain degree. Honestly, I think this does better for MLW and the idea of having some type of match here in the States for that title. Then he would face the winner, or he would face Taichi, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We've got TJP versus Taichi it's the semi-main event in the Korakuen show on July 3rd.
July 3rd, okay. You're right about the United Empire thing, though. Like, it might be weird to have that. We wouldn't be looking at United Empire final, would you? There's no way, right?
No, they're in separate brackets.
Well, right, but until the finals. So
No. Sorry, not separate brackets. That's not accurate. They're just the separate tournaments. So there's a tournament to get into the A block and a tournament to get into the B block. And they're in different tournaments. So they're not going to meet in the final.
Correct. Oh, why did I think that? I don't think. As much as I really would love to see him in, give me a scale on 1 to 10. Your thoughts of Taichi making it in? I don't think it's that good.
I've completely deluded myself into thinking that he's getting in. Well, I think he is. I honestly think that is the most compelling narrative. I think in the A block playing, we've got the story of, you know, the young up and comer Callum Newman finally overcoming one of the old guards in the form of Ishii. So that's the story in A block. And I think B block, it is, you know, the overlooked veteran having to have his redemption arc and prove his value and in the process going through Tanahashi on the way. It's going to be Tanahashi that wins. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see TJP not losing. Let's put it that way. I just think that they've put too much in, and Taichi just seems ice cold right now. And again, maybe this is the key to help warm him up a bit. But seriously, if you're looking at temperature gauges, don't you think that there's a little bit more fire underneath TJP than there is Taichi?
I suppose so. So are you thinking a TJP Tanahashi final?
Yeah, I guess. Even though I want Taichi, but I don't know. I mean, let's put it this way. So if we're in agreement, first of all, do you think Tanahashi's in G1?
I think if I put to the Super J-Cast branded gun to my head, yeah, I think Tanahashi's probably the chalk pick there.
Me too.
I'm still holding out hope for Taichi.
Okay. Me too. I don't think... I think the reason he's there is to be put in. Or, like, I want him to be the guy that puts somebody over. But in the same breath, like if he's putting somebody over, is it Callum? It would be Callum, right? And then Callum's in the finals, correct?
No. So
why am I not getting this? I'm the fucking Yankoid imbecile. All right, go ahead. Help.
Right, so
I'm Dave Meltzer. Go ahead. Please explain it.
The A block playing, we've got the winner of Callum versus Kenta faces the winner of Ishii versus Yoshihashi.
Okay. Got you.
And the winner of that gets into the A block. Then the B block play-in, we've got the winner of Tanahashi versus Bolton faces the winner of Taichi versus TJP, and the winner of that match then goes into the B block.
Gotcha. All right. I don't think Taichi gets in. I don't know. I want it. I just don't see it happening. I don't know. I just don't see it happening. So I think it's what? TJP? I don't know. But here's the thing. I'm frustrated with it, but in the same breath, like, I'm excited by it too, because I don't fucking know. I think the choice.
Right, I'm going to put you on the spot now. I'm going to put you on the spot. So, A block playing, pick one: Callum, Kenta, Ishii, Yoshihashi.
Give me Ishii.
Wow. So, yeah, that would be a choice for the guy who we don't think can do a full tour, making him, instead of wrestling 9 matches, wrestle, 11 matches.
Yep. But here's the thing: it doesn't matter what I think or you think, it matters what he thinks. It really does. Like, he'll go. He'll do it. I'm not going to count him the fuck out. I don't care if he's got one leg severed from his body. Like, the guy's going to fucking go. I'm just thinking about, like, who do I want? I want Callum. No doubt. Let me be very clear. I would love to see a new, fresh face, 20 years old, go fucking bonkers in there. What I think they would do is Ishii. And to the tune of, he's a guy that can go. Yes, he apparently is hurt. Yes, there are questions on if he could continue a full tournament. Give me fucking Ishii. You know, how can I bet against the fucking dude? Give me Ishii. Give me the B block.
B block, we got Tanahashi, Oleg, Taichi, or TJP.
I don't think it's Oleg. Who do I want? I want this to be Tanahashi's last and get him in. Who do I think? Probably Tanahashi would be the chalk pick. But if I'm trying to get, like, a little creative, probably TJP.
All right. I mean, I don't hate it. I mean, I think in terms of work rate, TJP would bring a lot of good stuff to the B block. But I still think the best all round wrestler is Taichi, but again, that just could be me on Taichi Island.
I'm with you though. I mean, I would love to see it. I really would. I just think the brackets are a little weird too. Like, I probably wouldn't put who knows. All right. So you're saying who? You're saying, are you saying, you're not saying Ishii, are you?
No, I think the A block, we're looking at a Callum Ishii final with Callum beating Ishii, and B block, a Tanahashi Taichi final. Head says Tanahashi, heart says Taichi.
I just don't think they're going to disregard TJP. I just got this weird feeling that TJP is going to be, we're going to see a lot more of TJP. I wouldn't have a problem with what you laid out. I wouldn't have a problem with it. And here's the thing, too, with Callum in it. And here's the thing, Ishii could be a guy that could easily do this, too. You're going to lose more than you win. Like even if Ishii's in, he's not winning more than he's losing. So, honestly, it comes down to this. Hey, Big Tom, can you fucking go? Great, you're in. Nah? All right, Callum, you're in. That's how I really feel like this is going.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm really looking forward to that show, actually, on July 3rd. So just the top of that card. So fourth match is Tanahashi versus Oleg Bolton, which makes me think, like, they're not going to do an upset there. If we're going to have a young line beating Tanahashi, it's not going to be the fourth match from the top. So,
correct.
Fourth match, Tanahashi versus Bolton. Fifth match, Callum versus Kenta. Sixth match, Taichi versus TJP. And main event, Ishii versus Yoshihashi. So, yeah, that one looks really nice on paper. That will be next Wednesday, so it probably makes more sense to record after that show rather than doing another show before it. We're previewing all again, so
because we have our Independence Day holiday on the 4th, so that might be a good time because I don't think I'm doing shit, so that might be actually work out perfect. So, all right, we'll figure that out. Yeah,
all right,
we're done.
Bye, everyone.
That's it.
with him.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right. I said, I got to get out of here. All right. Very good. Bye.
Hey, kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling, too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that, too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.